two people from the same property management team can't be giving different answers. But you also want to manage the expectations of the residents. Hey there, real estate enthusiasts. Get ready for a thrilling ride as we dive into the world of multifamily real estate investing. I'm Susie Sevier.
And I'm Michael Barnhart, and you're tuning in to the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast, where we break down the complexities of multifamily investing with a focus on asset management in a fun, digestible, and accessible way.
Join us on this journey as we unravel the secrets of seasoned experts and share insights to make real estate investing accessible for everyone, with a special focus on investing to make an impact. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, we've got you covered with tips, tricks, and industry knowledge that'll empower you on your real estate adventure.
So buckle up for this new season packed with valuable information, entertaining discussions, and a few surprises along the way. We're your hosts,
Susie Sevier
and Michael Barnhart, and this is the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast. Let's embark on this multifamily adventure together. Woo.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Adventures of a Real Estate Investor podcast. I'm Michael.
And I'm Susie, and we're so excited you joined us on this adventure.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 126. That's 126. This is going to be a good one. This is season 3, episode 9 of season 3. In this episode, we're going to talk all about
the solar eclipse.
The solar eclipse was today. It's correct. We're going to talk all about lease end tracking and proper lease end phasing as well, right? Cool. All right. So in this episode, we're going to talk all about what lease end tracking is and what lease end phasing is and the importance behind that, right? It's important because it has financial implications. It has potential legal implications. It also has resident satisfaction implications as well.
Yeah. And I mean, in all businesses, you talk about wanting processes and
systems
and processes, right? And this is just part of it. Like that is where that box also gets checked, because when you fall behind in this, as Michael mentioned, like the ripple is not small, the ripple is large.
Absolutely. So first, let's define what lease end tracking is. It's going to be a tough one to talk all day about that. Anyways, lease end tracking is basically making sure that you're tracking when a lease for a resident ends. Very simple, very straightforward, just as it says, right? However, it's not very simple. It's not very straightforward, right? It can be a very daunting task. The more and more units you have, the more and more difficult it can become to track these. However, with the help of software products, you can easily track when leases come due and things like that. And the next thing I wanted to define is really what lease phasing is, right? So lease end phasing is making sure or looking at when all of your leases expire. So let's just say, for example, to make it simple. So you have your rent roll, you have all your lease expiration dates in there. And basically, you go through and you say, okay, you assign, you know, how many leases are expiring in January, February, March, April, all the way through December, right? And then you can kind of look at, okay, where are all or majority of the leases kind of spread out? And so to give you an example, we've taken over properties before where there's been a significant amount of leases that were issued for some specific month, right? Where we had like 20 or 25 or even 30% of the leases issued in a specific month. Or we've taken over properties as well where a lot of the residents are on month-to-month, right? And so we got in there immediately and we want to get them in a lease. Well, guess what? When we get them in a lease, that lease is for that when we took over, right? So say it's like February and then you have 40 leases out of 100 unit property all in one month. That's not good for business either, right? Because when those come due next year, you have to deal with 40 people. So we'll get into specifics about how to phase that specifically, but you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, there's just, Michael mentioned, right? Like lease expiration dates. Like we also are going to discuss renewal options and notice periods, you know, really looking at the much larger picture of everything that's involved. And it'll be fun too, because like we've now experienced this with our on-site property managers, really sitting down with them and having them understand why accurate lease end tracking is beneficial for their sanity as well, right? Like when they really understand the pros and cons of it, like the pros 100% outweigh everything.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. So let's dive into it. As I mentioned previously, it can be a very daunting task. The more and more units you get into, right? Tracking lease ends and tracking phasing and things like that. However, with software. I mean, even a simple spreadsheet such as Excel, you can put in your lease end dates and things like that, and you can kind of track which ones are ending on certain months, right? So you can see, okay, you know, in March, we're going to have 45 move-outs or something like that. Also, software products such as, like, we use our property management system is, our PMS system is AppFolio. And so in AppFolio, you get alerts and things like that when leases are coming due, and you can set certain times and stuff like that to be alerted. I don't know too much about Yardi, but I know Yardi is a big one that's used by a lot of property management companies as well. I'm sure they have similar things in there.
Yeah, because like that's one of the most common challenges like faced in implementing lease tracking, right? Because like before, a lot of it was manual. And when it's manual, a lot gets missed just by the human error. As Michael mentioned too, like with software programs, you can just auto populate deadlines, you know, like you don't have to focus on somebody writing them down on a calendar and then missing it, or just having a lot of communication breakdowns. That's really what you want to try to avoid. You don't want any like miscommunication or errors when it comes to this. As Michael also mentioned before, like you have like financial losses, you might have legal issues, like, or resident dissatisfaction. Each of this plays a role. You know, Michael has said the story of having residents on month to month. Well, when you have them on month to month, that could be considered a financial loss, right? Because you haven't captured them into a 12-month lease yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Susie mentioned some challenges of it. And I mentioned previously to those challenges that you can use software programs to identify when, you know, lease ends are coming up. So once you identify when your leases are coming due, then you need to really look at, okay, how are those spread out across the calendar year, right? Because now we're going to get into phasing, right? Because you don't want, as I previously mentioned, you don't want all, or not all, but like a large majority of your leases ending in one specific month, because that's going to cause a lot of headache, a lot of unit turn, and a lot of issues with, I mean, it's going to have a huge ripple effect, right? And so just for example, like say you have 20% of your units coming due in one specific month and you can't get those residents on a new lease. Well, if that occurs, then you have 20 move-outs and your occupancy is going to drop significantly. Not only is your occupancy going to drop, but then your maintenance personnel is going to have to deal with 20% of your turns, right? Like 20% of units have turns to do as well. And so that's going to cause a massive ripple effect.
Yeah, because if you end up having, like you lose rent, right? On those months that they're sitting unturned. But then if you hire out that work, you're spending more money than you would have if just proper lease tracking wasn't in place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was just going to say another ripple to that too, is like if you have 20% of units to turn, then if the maintenance personnel is just focusing on turns, they have that many turns,
yes.
Guess what gets left in the dust? It's all those maintenance requests. And guess what? Number one reason why people move out of apartments, because there's not
maintenance
personnel there to take care of their maintenance issues. And so that's just resident dissatisfaction due to maintenance requests not being fulfilled or answered, right? And so there's a huge ripple, right? And so what Susie and I suggest is that less than 10% of your units need to be expiring in one given month, right? Yes, you can kind of spread that out more heavily in, let's say, April, May, June, July timeframe, because there's going to be more people moving in the summertime, especially with families and things like that. They're going to want to move their kids during the school year. And you can kind of reduce that amount on the fall and spring months, but you can even reduce that even a little bit more in the winter months, right? If you're living in a place with a lot of snow and it's really, really cold, leasing slows down quite a bit. People are not moving, people are not interested. So you actually don't want to have a lot of move out scheduled. So once a couple strategies that we've done for phasing to kind of spread that load across the entire year is look at, you know, say, for example, we had one property that we took over and there's a lot of people month to month, so we gave them all new leases. Well, I'm going to say there was like 20 or 25 new leases that we had to sign with these residents. Yes. Well, I was like, there's no way in heck that we're going to be signing 25 new leases that all end in February of the following year. Number one, February is a terrible month because of the winter and stuff like that. But also,
yeah, it's just bad time in Oklahoma to move too. It's like, yeah, it's bad storms then.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not a great month. So I was like, okay, let's take some of these and let's split it up, right? Let's do some 3-month leases, let's do some 6-month leases, some 9-month leases, and then some 12-month leases. And yeah, if some people really want to, they can stay for 15, you know, and then we, yes, can even kind of do that as well and kind of phase it out, right? And then once those come up, those 3, 6, 9 month leases come up, mm-hmm, again, Then we look at, okay, when is this going to expire again? Can we put them on a 12-month lease at that time, right? Until we get them to where we want them. And so it actually works quite well.
Yes.
And residents don't tend to really care for a 3-6-9-month lease. I think their biggest concern is, hey, after the 3 months, are you going to raise my rent again, right? And so you just have to work around those kind of issues that might pop up.
Absolutely. I mean, just another example of a strategy just to make it more effective. Like, it's super, super important to have, and I know I've mentioned this before, but like, clear communication between the property management teams, the leasing agents, and the residents. Everyone is intertwined and everybody has to have the same information. Two people from the same property management team can't be giving different answers. But you also want to manage the expectations of the residents. When Michael said, we're very clear about the lease renewals and what our goal is for each renewal. We don't go as far as explaining the lease end tracking, but you can come up with any great idea that would work. And I mean, communication is always the biggest thing. Do the on-site managers know why we're doing lease end tracking and its importance, right? That's the biggest thing. And then how they convey that back to the residents.
Yeah. And so now once you get your phasing sorted out, mm-hmm. the next thing you want to do is make sure you have a clear communication plan, as Susie mentioned. Make sure all of your business plan is communicated properly to the on-site, to the regional as well. But once that's sorted, the phasing is sorted out, then you need to start tracking these end dates, right? So we usually track 90 days out, right? Like, we're looking at 90 days, we're looking at a 90 day picture, right? And then we start sending out renewals. 90 days, we'll send them out again, 60 days, if they don't answer, right? And then, because they have to sign something within 30 days or give us a 30 day notice to vacate, right? Sometimes we can even get like a 60 day notice to vacate, which is very helpful as well. And so say we send them something out 90 days out and they're like, we're not going to renew. We can even track that, okay? This person is not going to renew, but we can also, not only do we do two things at that point. We continue to work with them to see if we can get them to renew because that is the cheapest option. Or we can say, okay, that's also going to give us information to say, okay, 90 days out from now, this unit is going to be vacant. Can we start leasing that specific unit? Okay. And then we can get it on the schedule for the maintenance team to get ready to do that turn, especially if it's already leased as well, pre-leased. And we can say, okay, now we can see how many units are coming up for renovation. We need to assign certain maintenance personnel or enough maintenance personnel to those actions to make sure that's taken care of. And then at that point, we can also coordinate exterior help from other properties if needed. And we don't. And then that also reduces our cost of turn because we don't have to hire out last minute and things like that. So all this plays into just really having a really financial stable model as well.
Yeah, because I mean, the biggest part though, right, is you want the lowest cost per turn, mm-hmm. right? So like if a resident can stay, then that's what you want. And if you lose a resident just because you missed out on like lease end tracking, it's really unfortunate because it's one of the much easier things. Like, it has a low entry. I mean, I would say it's a low entry to barrier. I mean, if I guess it could be a lot of data if it was like 1,000 units, like if you had to manually put it in. But other than that, like, there's no reason why it wouldn't be able to be used immediately as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so just to kind of wrap it up here, we've communicated well enough about the importance of lease end tracking. Make sure that you have a plan. Make sure that your team on site has a plan. Mm-hmm. Make sure that they understand what you're looking for, making sure that you're tracking 90, 60, 30 days out, making sure that, you know, is that unit renewing? Are they moving out? Is that, if they're moving out, is that unit released? And then if the proper phasing is established for your specific market, right? You want to make sure you know your leasing season in your specific market, and then making sure that the phasing is spread across those months equally or distributed properly according to the leasing season.
Yeah. And even according to your budget, right? Like, even if you think about it that way, if you can't go over budget every month, then you'll just have like, that could blow a budget or ruin budget for other months and just leaving apartments vacant.
Absolutely. Especially if you have a massive move out as well. If you're not really tracking, you're like, holy crap, I didn't realize that we have 25 units coming up in this specific month because you weren't tracking it. And then your occupancy significantly plummets. It's really hard mm-hmm. to come back from that without spending a lot of money to do so.
Yeah. Right? Like in marketing, in concessions, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever it could be.
So before we end the show,
yeah,
we have my favorite new segment. It's called Multifamily Myth Busters. So the myth today is that lease end tracking and phasing is only necessary for large multifamily properties. Is that true, Susie?
No. So this myth suggests that lease end tracking and phasing are primarily relevant and beneficial for large multifamily properties with hundreds of units or more, right? Like that's the thing. 100 plus considers you big, but really in my eyes, like 2 considers you big. Like it's bigger than what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. But the misconception lies that the smaller multifamily properties with fewer units can manage lease end manually or with less sophisticated tracking systems, right? Like without facing any consequences. And unfortunately, that is, we have to
debunk that myth. Yeah.
Debunk that myth.
Yeah. So I will say that I think it's officially debunked that it's important for all sizes of multifamily properties. I think it's even more important for a fourplex or let's say a 10 unit, right? For ease of looking at numbers. Let's say, I think it's even more important for even smaller units, right? So like 10 unit, if you have 5 move outs scheduled for July and all 5 decide to non-renew, guess what? You have 50% occupancy. You have 10.
That's crazy.
Units, right? Which is pretty crazy. And that's hard.
That would kill your cash flow.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's even more important for smaller multifamily properties than even larger ones. Because, right, like if 5 people move out in a large multifamily property, you can absorb that a lot better than with the economies of scale than you can with a smaller property.
Well, even when you think about like mentally, right, like all of that energy that you're using and like wasting for storage, thinking about doing it manually, right, like having to look back, not having something just remind you, you having to continue to remind yourself to look, like the bandwidth that you lose doing that and potentially looking for your next property is definitely worth noting as well.
Absolutely. All right. So to wrap it up here, thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate it. I hope you learned a lot about multifamily lease end tracking or just lease end tracking for any kind of real estate. Well, it doesn't have to be multifamily. And also phasing, right? Phasing of your leases as well, making sure that they are spread across evenly. What I would suggest is making sure that if you own multifamily or if you're working with an operator, making sure that they understand this lease end phasing, this lease end tracking. And then if you are an owner, operator, dig into your rent roll. See if you have this phased out properly. See if you are tracking your lease end dates. So, or if your property manager is tracking these lease end dates for you. So I'm sure they are, hopefully. Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Adventurous family. Appreciate your time. And thanks for tuning in. Until next time, explore more. Adventure awaits.
And that's a wrap for another episode of The Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. We hope you've enjoyed today's journey through the multifamily real estate landscape with us.
Before you go, don't forget to show some love by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback is invaluable and helps us continue delivering content that matters to you. Plus, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on the latest episodes.
As always, we appreciate your support and can't wait to bring you even more insights, expert interviews, and entertaining discussions in the next episode. Until then, keep exploring, keep investing, and remember, the adventure continues. Thanks for being part of the Adventurers family. Woo!
Woo!